Go with me, if you would, back to 1 Peter chapter 2. When I was in my 20s, I was working for a particular company. And one of my coworkers made this statement, asked this question. We were all standing around in a group. There was a group of us. And you know how it goes. You've been in a group of people and everybody's kind of waiting on everything to get started. And conversation is taking place and different people are chiming in a little bit. And somebody will say something and it turns the conversation maybe a little more serious, and somebody else will say something. Well, that's what happened. The conversation turned serious. And one of my coworkers made this statement, word for word. Sometimes I wonder, what are we here for? What are we here for? What is the purpose of man? What is the purpose of man? What is life all about? If a person lives long enough, he or she will ask that question. At some point, they will get to a stage in life where they ask that question. Why are we here? What is the purpose in all this? What is the purpose in life? A man or a woman will continue to ask that question until the truth is revealed to them. A man will continue seeking the answer to that question until it's finally revealed to him. Why are we here? What is the purpose of man? Here's the answer. The glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, and the witness of Christ. That's why we're here. The glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, and the witness of Christ. I believe that needs a selah. I like to put that in my notes. Just take a minute and just dwell on that. The glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, the witness of Christ. Why has God put us on this earth? Why are we still here? Why has God not taken us yet? If we belong to Him, what are we here to do? What is the purpose? The glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, the witness of Christ. All three of those things take place in this statement right here. Three words. This is our text tonight. It's only three words. Verse 4 says in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it says, to whom coming? To whom coming? The glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, the witness of Christ. To whom coming? To whom coming? When God gives life to a sinner, it is evidenced by this, to whom coming? That's how it's evidenced. It's evidenced by who gets all of our glory, who gets all of our worship, and who gets all of our witness. To whom coming? Now, I wish that I could adequately describe the deadness of man. I wish I could. I mean, I can't even enter into it myself. It's not that I have it and I can't describe it to anybody else. I wish we could for once enter into the deadness of man, the hardness of man's heart. It is hard as a stone because it's dead. This heart of flesh is so dead. So dead. There is no movement in it. And we know this is true. All we have to do is just take 1 second and look inside for 1 second. We know this is so. There is no movement in man's fleshly heart for the glory of Christ, the worship of Christ, or the witness of Christ. Not naturally. It's not there. All it can do is be dead. It just feel dead. That's all it can do. How can we get some understanding of that deadness, even though we'll never into the fullness of it? How can we see some understanding of it? It's in this. This heart glories in being dead. It wants it. It thrives on it. It worships being dead. It witnesses being dead. It loves being dead. It craves being dead. It serves death. It's just naturally prone to death. It will not serve and crave and love and witness Christ. It just will not do it. There are some things that are essential to life. Human life, physical life. All right, here are the top three. There are many things that are essential to life. Here are the top three. Air, water, food. Air, water, and food. You can say to a dead man, breathe. Come on, breathe. Just breathe. He won't do it. He will not do it. You can say, drink. Just swallow. Just drink. He won't do it. Come on, eat. Just eat. He will not do it. In that, he evidences the fact that he's dead. That is his evidence that he's dead. The same thing is true for a man or a woman who is spiritually dead. Instead of breathe, we can say, believe. Come on, just believe. Come on, listen, just believe. He won't do it. Drink the water of life freely. It's free. It's free. It's so good and it's so wonderful. And it's so life-giving. It's so eternal. He that drinks this water will never thirst again. This will be the last drink of water you ever need to take. Just drink the water of life. He won't do it. Feed on Christ. Just feed on Christ. Just taste His graciousness. Swallow it down into your soul and delight in its fullness. Will not do it. But if God ever gives life, if God ever gives life, all of the evidences of death will go away. All of them. All the evidences. Now, are you saying that bad people will become good people? Those who do bad works, they'll start doing good works. If God ever gives life, those that do bad works will start doing good works. That is not what I'm saying. That may take place. And I hope that does take place. But a person who stops doing bad things and starts doing good things, humanly speaking, in the flesh, that is not an evidence of going from death to life. Humanly speaking, in the flesh, that is not a sign of a person going from death to life. Earthly speaking, people that do bad things, they're just as physically, humanly alive as anybody else. They just do bad things. The evidences of death are the things that evidence there's only one place for you, the grave. Evidences of death. When God gives spiritual life, all the spiritual evidences of death go away. When God gives spiritual life, all the evidences of spiritual death go away. And this takes place. To whom coming? To whom coming? Now, I want us to see three things about this. Number one, where we come. When God grants life, and life exists in a sinner, and that sinner responds. Number one, where we come. Verse 4 says, to whom? To whom? When God gives life, sinners come to a person. We are coming to a person. We are coming to a person. We are not coming to the doctrines of grace. There was a man that I used to know, and that's all he ever wanted to talk about, was when he came. He had this time nailed down when he came to the doctrines of grace. I understand what he meant by that, but that man no longer sits under any place that I know of that has anything to do with the truth. He just always talked about when he came to the doctrines of grace. We are not coming to the doctrines of grace. We are not coming to Calvinism. Do we believe the doctrines of grace? Absolutely. Those 5 points that John Calvin saw in the Scriptures, do we agree with John Calvin? Absolutely. But John Calvin wasn't coming to Calvinism. That is so important to know. John Calvin never came to Calvinism. Never. Neither do any of God's people. We come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to Christ. Wretched sinners come to the one that they were chosen to be in. God chose to put His people into Christ. And He calls them and they come to the place they were chosen to be. They come to Christ. The one that gave His life for them. I will never be able to describe the deadness of man. I'll never be able to describe the glory that Christ gave His life for dead man. Never be able to enter into that. Not in this life. Gave His life. Gave His blood. Called them to Himself. Drew all of those dead sinners to Himself. All those rock hard stone. Loving death. Craving death. Drew them all to Himself. Washed them. Cleansed them. He's going to keep them all the way to the end. We are not coming to salvation. We're coming to the Savior. We're not coming to salvation. We're coming to the Savior. We're not coming to a place called heaven. We're coming to a person called heaven. We come to Him. We come to Him. The God-man, Christ Himself, to whom coming? I've heard people say this, and you've heard people say this. I got to get back in church. Got to get back in church. I want to tell everybody, don't do that. Don't do that. If that's all that happens, going to just bring greater damnation on ourselves. If all we do is get back in church, we're going to make ourselves to be twofold more the children of hell than what we were before. Isn't that what our Lord said? We are not coming to church. God's people who side with John Calvin, they're not coming to the doctrines of grace. They're not coming to Calvinism. They're not coming to salvation. They're not coming to church. God's people do not come to church. God's people are the church. And the church comes to Christ. Huge difference. To whom coming? To whom coming? We are not coming to a change. We're not coming to a support group. We're not coming to an influence. We're not coming to a better way. We're coming to the only way. We're coming to the man, Christ Jesus our Lord. To whom? Paul said, I know whom, not what. I know whom, not what. That'd be so beneficial for some to get a hold of. I know whom. I know whom. I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Our Lord himself said, come unto me. Come unto me. He did not say, come to John Calvin. Or he did not say, come to the Puritans. Men and women love to get those old Puritan books and start digging deep in those things. He did not say, come to the reformers. He did not say, come to the martyrs. He did not say, come to the apostles. He said, come to me. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. To whom coming? All right, now this is the second thing I want us to see about God giving life and removing the evidence of spiritual death. Number two, verse 4. To whom coming? To whom coming? That means we're in the process. In the moment, right now. To whom coming? Not to whom we came. To whom coming? When God gives life, when he truly gives life and he removes the evidence of death, sinners start coming to Christ. They start coming to Christ. They don't say, I came to Christ. They say, I'm coming to him right now. I'm coming to him right now. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I don't need a date. I don't need an experience. I don't want to hold on to those things. You know, people have January the 5th, 1988. That was the date. The experience was I had a car wreck. I thought I was going to die. While I was sitting there waiting on them to cut me out, I came to Christ. Great. What about today? What about today? Yesterday's over. God's people say, I need to come to him right now. I need to come to him right now. My life depends on a continual coming. It depends on a continual coming. A moment ago, we mentioned air, water, food. A man who is alive does not say, and let's see if we can read between the spiritual lines here. A man who is alive does not say, I remember a time about 20 years ago, I took a breath of air. A man who is alive does not say that. I just strongly felt a need. I felt like I needed to do that. And I opened my mouth and I inhaled. And, yep, right then and there, January the 5th, 1988, I took a breath of air. A man who says that is a dead man. A man who says that is a dead man. A man who is alive says, I have to have a vital union with air right now. Right now. I am breathing. I'm breathing. That's what a man who is alive says. I'm breathing. I cannot live on yesterday's air. I'm so thankful for yesterday's air, but that's not enough. It's not enough to go on. That's not enough for me to, I'll just chew on that for a little while and then I'll come back later on and get me another breath of air. I cannot live on yesterday's air. And I cannot wait until tomorrow. I cannot go on something that happened in the past and I can't put it off. I cannot put it off. I have something extremely important right now. I'll take care of this now and put that off until later. No, we're talking about air. We're talking about Christ. I have to have it right now. I have to have it right now. True faith, God-given faith, faith that is alive, is believing faith, not believed. Well, I believed it. You told it to me. I sat there and listened. And you said believe, and I believed it. What's the problem? I believed it. God's messengers never say, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Never. The message is believe, live right now. God's people are believers. Believers. Living faith does not looked. It is always looking. Always looking unto the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Always looking. Always looking. True living repentance. Our Lord came preaching, and this was His message. This is what God preached. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, you go and preach the message of repentance. True living repentance that God grants, that repentance of true life that God in His goodness leads His people to, that repentance keeps on repenting. It just keeps on repenting. Everybody here knows I love music. I listen to the music before I listen to the words. I love that song. What does it say? No idea. I just love music. Chord progressions and rhythm and stuff like that. I love that. For that reason, I cannot help it. I wish I didn't, but I can't help it. I love the song Victory in Jesus. It has the most horrible words in it. Some of them are good. But as a kid, man, I loved that song. But this is what it says. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. That's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. I didn't do anything. I was led to repentance. Did the Lord lead me to repentance? Yes, He did. But He gets the glory for it. His glory, His worship, His witness. That repentance was not a one-time thing of the past. I repented of my sins. No. Living repentance is a continual turning from self to Christ. I'll never be finished. If God has given me a living repentance, I'll never stop turning from self to Christ. It is a continual sorrow over sin. That changed mind over who God is and what man is and what Christ has done, that stays continually in the mind. It's constantly being brought up again. It's living. It's living. Repentance that does not keep on repenting is dead. It's no repentance at all. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Whatever, if God does it, it'll be forever. When God gives faith, it keeps on believing. It just keeps on believing. When God gives love, it keeps on loving. When God gives eyes, they keep on looking. Isn't that good news? If it was left up to my cold, hard, dead flesh, none of these things could be so. But when God moves, when God gives ears, they keep on hearing. Oh, Lord, am I ever going to get tired of the gospel? I mean, I can see how that would be possible in my dead flesh. Lord, please don't let me get tired of hearing about the blood of Jesus Christ. When God gives ears, they keep on hearing. When God puts a song right here, it keeps on singing. When God creates a heart of need, it keeps on needing. It keeps on crying. If God ever gives a sinner true life, he'll keep on. He'll keep on. To whom coming? Now, here's the last thing I want us to see about this. When God gives life and removes the evidence of death, his people, number one, they come to a person. They come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. They bypass everything. That's a wonderful experience. The Lord starts stripping all those things away, all those hindrances, and they see Christ. And they come directly to Christ. Number two, they come in a vital, living way. And number three, God's people will never stop coming until they get there. They will never stop coming until they get to Him. If God has brought life to us, we will keep coming to Christ. We will keep coming to whom until we arrive in His presence. That's the good news. Tonight's message is not an encouragement. And y'all keep on coming. I'm just stating a fact. If God has done a work of grace in us, we will keep coming until we are standing in His presence. We will come all the way to the end. He will keep us coming to Him. No man can come except the Father which hath sent him draw us. But He'll draw us. He'll draw us all the way. He'll keep us coming to Him until the moment we are physically standing in His presence. If God has caused us to taste that the Lord is gracious, that's what it says in verse 3. That's what we looked at last time we were here. If He has caused us to truly taste that the Lord is gracious, then we will keep coming to Him. We will come to Him until we see Him face to face and tell the story. Saved by grace. Can't you wait to tell your story? Everybody in glory has a story. Every single one. What's your story? Oh, my story is, I was saved by grace. I was saved by grace. He saw me. And He loved me. And He died for me. He paid my price. He called me. He drew me to Himself. He said, come. And I came. I came. To whom coming? Lord, keep us. Keep us. Keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Let's sing that. Let's all stand together. Hymn number 51.